House Agriculture and Natural Resource Committee to order. Today is May 11th. Welcome to all of you. We're going to do our possible reconsideration and work session first on a bill that was sent back to us because the Committee on Ways and Means is closed. So I'll open a work session on House Bill 3082.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3082.
Thank you. Representative Bocas has moved the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3082. The motion is not debatable. Is there any objection to the motion? If not, then the rules are suspended. Requires. Do I need to call the roll?
No.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, having voted on the prevailing side, I move we reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 3082.
Thank you. Representative Bocas has moved to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 3082 was passed. Is there any discussion? Okay. Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion? If not, the motion carries and the measure is once again before the committee. Yes. Representative Bocas.
I move House Bill 3082, as amended with a due pass recommendation, rescind the subsequent referral to Committee on Revenue and that bill be referred to the Special Committee on Budget.
Representative Bocas has moved House Bill 3082, as amended with a due pass recommendation, rescind the subsequent referral to the Committee on Revenue and that the budget be referred to the Special Committee on Budget. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, seeing no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Hyatt? Aye. Representative Bocas? Aye. Representative Burley? Aye. Representative Hass? Excuse. Representative Berlin? Aye. Representative Sumner? Aye. Chair Smith?
Chair votes aye. The motion passes, and House Bill 3082 is referred to the House Special Committee on Budget. I'll close the work session on House Bill 3082. Thank you. That went a little smoother than last time.
I've already been doing this, Madam Chair. So.
Thank you very much. No wonder. So then we get into the public hearing and possible work session, and I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 177A. And Patrick, do you want to give us an update on that?
Yes, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 177A specifies that agents and employees of a forest protective associations while engaged in fighting fires at the direction of the state forester are considered agents of a public body for purposes of tort action. The bill also deletes incorrect reference to the state forester. This bill has no fiscal revenue impact. Was passed by a Senate vote of 28-0.
Thank you, Patrick. I have Charlie Stone signed up and Jan Whitlock. Or is it Ian?
Ian,
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Thank you.
You can tell the reading glasses. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Chair Smith, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Charlie Stone with the Department of Forestry Protection from Fire Program. With me this morning is Ian Whitlock, Assistant Attorney General and General Counsel for the Department of Forestry. Ian's here in case we have any legal questions that I'm not allowed to answer. Senate Bill 177 is a pretty straightforward bill. It's a fix of a bill that passed through the legislature last session. The two principal objectives of the ORS 477-125 that is the subject of this bill are, one, to make all wildland firefighters comparable to structural firefighters when it comes to liability, from the standpoint that those firefighters can't be liable for personal injury or property damages unless it's willful misconduct or gross negligence. That part's already in the law. We're not messing with that. The second part of the statute deals with forest protective associations, those private member protection associations that work with the state forester. when they are operating in their own protection district, Coos District, Douglas District, Walker Range. They have liability insurance. They take care of their own matters. But they come frequently to help us in other districts, either as move up of engines, that type of thing, or on our incident management teams. And when they do that, they're working under the direction and the control of the state forester. In addition to that, liability protections, state employees under the Tort Claims Liability Act have a limit to their liability, even when there is misconduct or gross negligence. And these folks are, you know, they're under the direction of the state forester. They're doing what they're told, presumably doing their jobs properly. We believe that those limits should extend to them. And that's what 477-125 purported to do. When the bill was passed last session, it went all through the process, only had one no vote in the process. It got to the governor's desk, and the governor, being a former Supreme Court justice, looked at it, thought about an old case that he had heard on the court, and said, I don't think the way you've constructed this is constitutionally legal. And so he supported the bill. He supported the idea of what we were trying to do, but to let it become law without his signature. And we told him we'd try and fix it during the next session. So this is the fix. The problem, apparently, is that in doing it the way we did, we directly assigned that liability limit to those employees of an association. And that's like giving the state's sovereignty over to a private entity, which apparently is the problem. So the fix in 477, or in Senate Bill 177, is to instead define those people, when they're acting under the direction and control of the state forester, as agents of the public body, which is what the Tort Claim Liability Act already covers. So we think that takes care of the fix. The governor's office has agreed that if that goes through, that that would satisfy their concerns. We ask you to support the bill and send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Stone? Representative Burley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the changes, in actually the only change in the Dash 1 amendment on the Senate side, was to delete the word state in line 18. So it used to read, excuse me, control of the state forester. Now it just says control of the forester. Why that change?
Chair Smith, Representative Burley, actually that's a change from the bill as it was introduced, as legislative council drafted. It is not a change from the statute as it exists currently. The statute currently says forester. And the quirk is that in Chapter 477, forester and state forester are both defined. State forester is the actual appointed person who is the director of the agency. Forester is the state forester or any authorized representative. And in fact, when we're out on a fire, these folks are working for authorized representatives and not Marvin Brown himself. So that's the reason for the change.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Ian, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Nothing to add.
Okay. Seeing no one else signed up, I think that's all we need from you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 177A and open a work session on Senate Bill 177A, and the chair is looking for a motion.
Madam Chair, prior to making a motion,
yes,
I'd like to make a motion and put it on the consent calendar, since this is really just a correction of a previous bill.
I think you can make that before your motion.
Madam Chair, I move that Senate Bill 177 be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation placed on the consent calendar.
Thank you. I have a motion from Representative Boquist to move Senate Bill 177A to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be placed on the consent calendar. Do I have any objections? Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Boquist?
Yes.
Representative Burley?
Yes.
Representative Haft?
Yes.
Representative Roland?
Yes.
Representative Sumner?
Yes.
Representative
Byers?
Aye.
And Chair Smith?
Chair votes aye. Having received the required number of votes, we move Senate Bill 177A to the House floor with due pass recommendation and placed on the consent calendar. We'll close the work session on House Bill, or Senate Bill 177A. Okay, I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 694. Senator Byer is in the room. Patrick, would you like to?
Yes, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 694 directs the State Fish and Wildlife Commission to issue up to 5 deer, elk, or antelope tags through an organization whose primary mission is to provide hunting and fishing trips to children diagnosed with life-threatening illnesses. In your packets are the Dash 1 amendments, which are a rewrite of the bill. They authorize the commission to provide free hunting tags to an organization that sponsors hunting trips to terminally ill children. Very similar to the original bill, but there are some differences that I believe our witnesses will speak to. The amendments also add an emergency clause that would make the measure effective upon signature by the governor.
Thank you, Patrick. Welcome, Senator Byer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I am Roger Byer, State Senator, District 9. I bring you Senate Bill 694, which I sponsored with a few other senators. Your committee staff did an excellent job describing the bill and what Dash 1 amendments are. And my request would be to insert the Dash 1 amendments into the bill and pass as amended. The reason for that, and there'll be other people here to talk specifically about the issue and what this does, and this is a great program, and it's something I think we need to do for terminally ill children. But I'll speak directly to the Dash 1 amendments. The bill is passed when it came out of the Senate. We thought it did exactly what we want to do. But after it passed the Senate, apparently the department got some calls and questions about how these organizations each get 5 tags for each of these species, and that was not the intent of the bill. We tried through amendments to word it in statute so it was very clear that it was 5 tags total. But we felt it was easier probably just to let the department define that by rule. And so that's why we went this route, to eliminate the language as printed in the bill and just insert the rule language into the statute, which is 497-146. So that's the issue in front of you. I know there are other people here who testify on behalf of the bill, and they have very touching stories. And I hope you will take a listen to it and then pass the bill as amended.
Thank you, Senator Breyer, for bringing this important bill. Any questions for the senator? Representative Roosevelt.
I just want to. This is really a wonderful thing, and I appreciate you guys bringing this forward. The issue that I had now is part of the issue that there may be multiple organizations that do this. We know of one. there are multiple organizations, and again, that'll be dealt with in rural. Is that the goal?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Rowland, exactly. We know of at least 2 organizations, and there are others that potentially would start up, but there is Hunt of a Lifetime, and there's also Make-A-Wish Foundation are the 2 that we know of right now. And that's why we just felt it was easier to let the department describe it by rule. And interestingly enough, the department currently has the authority to do some of this, but the intent here is that the department can only do it now, my understanding is, in the confines of the regular hunting seasons we have in the state. And like for elk, or you know, that's a 5-day hunt if it's the first day season, it's very specific. And what we want to be able to do to allow for a longer time period, because many times a terminally ill child cannot make a hunt during those 5 days specified, and only those 5 days specified, or in a mule deer case of a 9-day hunt. So we want to allow flexibility so that the department can allow the hunt to happen when the child is physically able to do it. We talked about a 90-day time period, you know, maybe from the 1st of September until the end of November or something like that. So that's why we need to actually pass the bill, is to give them that flexibility.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to call Danny Benson, Al Elkins, and Rick Peabody.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association. Senator Byer gave you the overview that I had planned to do in relation to the amendment, but what I would like to do is turn this over to the real experts here. Mr. Benson came to the Oregon Hunters Association Board earlier in the year and asked if we would help him shepherd this bill through the process. We wholeheartedly agreed to do that, and so these people can tell you what this is all about.
Great.
Okay?
Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
For the record, state your name.
Madam Chair,
For the record, my name's Danny Benson. I'm the Oregon ambassador for Hunt of a Lifetime. From Klamath Falls, Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization with the primary mission of setting up hunting and fishing trips for children and young adults 21 and under that have been diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. I got involved with the program in 2002 and have worked through the normal processes with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and their tag allocations through landowner preference and normal hunting season tags. Until last year, that process worked, even though a little cumbersome with some of the scheduling with the children, as Senator Byers talked about. We had a young person last year that his dream was to go on a deer hunt. Day before he showed up on this 7-day hunt, he come down with a cold, still going through chemo treatments for cancer. He had to leave and was unable to go on his hunt. This really got me thinking of how we can correct this procedure, and my thought was to try and come up with tag allocations for the program similar to the auction and raffle tags that are currently going on in Oregon. That gives us a 90-day season any place in the state, and we can go through the process with the young people, whether they want to hunt an elk or their dream hunt is a deer or an antelope. We can hopefully get the tag allocated to them. And that gives us multiple opportunities. One, to either hunt near their home if they're from Oregon. Secondly, is to go places where they could truly experience a true hunt of a lifetime. You know, with a longer season, there's multiple opportunities. And then we're able to schedule around their schedule, whether it be family, medical issues, or their school. That's become a problem since the program was started in 1999 with a lot of the people going through the program. So that's kind of it in a nutshell as far as the Hunt of a Lifetime organization and why we'd like to have this pass through.
Thank you. Who wants to go next? Okay.
Rick Peabody, Madam Chair. I just want to personally thank each of you for your time and your consideration on this. You wouldn't wish a life-threatening illness on any parent. And as my son went from starting in sports at school to a paraplegic in the hospital with cancer and battling that, although he was amazingly strong in dealing with this on a daily basis, there came a time where I sensed that he was becoming very frustrated in the fight to win this battle. And we, as parents, were searching for forms of motivation to help him continue the fight. And when we found out about the Hunt of a Lifetime in that organization, and as we had the opportunity to sit as father and son and discuss if he was well enough to go out and to, you know, take part in this American tradition, which has been a part of our family, I honestly believe it was a huge help for him. And fortunately, he was blessed at the time that they were able to fit him in for that with good health. I think this is huge because, as Danny mentioned, it only takes a small fever for one of these young people with compromised immune systems to just totally ruin that opportunity for them. And there are, up to this point, there have been a lot of people who have donated resources and time to make this possible. And it's worked for many, but it hasn't worked for some, as Mr. Vincent mentioned. So this window of time, I think, will just make it possible for these young people to experience that that opportunity, which we had, that we'll remember the rest of our lives. And I just wanted to thank each of you for your time and effort in helping to get this through. And I think the urgency that they're placing on this is very important, because I know that there are young people that would like to do this year that might not be with us next year. So just thank you again.
Thank you, Mr. Peabody. Did you want to say anything?
My name's Sterling Peabody. Uh-huh. First of all, I want to, if I would have known I was going to speak today, I would have dressed a little bit more appropriately. Sorry. But going through being the person that's gone through something like this, I couldn't agree more with this program or what you guys are doing. Because it is special.
Great. Thank you. So you got some benefit out of it. Great. Did we hear any questions?
Sorry about that.
It's okay. Representative Rowland.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, was it a deer, elk, or antelope that you were saying? Huh?
It was a deer.
Huh? Were you successful?
Yes.
Okay.
Really?
That's awesome. There
you go. I guess that opens up another question. Was your father with you?
Well, yes. Yes, yeah. He was. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Making this trip up here and bringing this important piece of legislation to us. And I couldn't agree with you more. The emergency clause in this is necessary. And I'm glad you got something out of it. And I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. See no further questions. Roy Elliker wanted to testify.
Is that a picture of this deer?
No, it's like his dog. Oh.
Nope.
It's going to go this way. Good morning.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Mike.
You're going to be opposed to.
Yeah. What a reputation. What a reputation.
Just kidding.
For the record, Roy Elliker, Deputy Director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. For the record, Madam Chair, we support the bill and we support the -1 amendment. I think Senator Beyer kind of summed it up. Sometimes when you try and craft a statute, you just can't think of all the intricacies and things like season length and stuff. Much easier to give authorize the commission to work closely with some of the groups, which we'll do, and put together a program for these kind of hunts.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Elliker? Thank you. Does anyone else here wish to testify on this? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 694, and I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 694. Representative Roquist, or Representative Roblin?
I move the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 694.
Thank you. I have a motion from Representative Roblin to move -1 amendments to Senate Bill 694. Do I have any objections? Any discussion? I see none. We'll move the -1 amendments to Senate Bill 694. Senator Roblin?
I
gave you a promotion.
That's good. That's
good.
Good.
Thanks.
Representative Roblin.
I move Senate Bill 694 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. This one probably could be on the consent agenda as well, I would think. But it's nice to have the discussion.
All right. Thank you. I have a motion from Representative Roblin to move Senate Bill 694 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Burley?
Aye.
Representative
Pass? Aye.
Representative
Roblin?
Aye.
Representative Sanders?
Yes.
Representative Beyer?
Aye.
Representative
Boquist?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We move Senate Bill 694 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Sumner, would you like to carry this bill?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 694. Thank you very much for making the trip here. Okay, we have one bill to go. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 318A. Patrick, do you want to
listen? Yes, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 318A authorizes the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board to discipline license or permit holders following a board-ordered physical or mental health evaluation who's in cases where the permit holder or license holder's medical or mental or physical condition makes them unable to safely conduct the practice of veterinary medicine. The bill has no fiscal or revenue impact and was approved by the Senate on a 30-0.
Thank you, Patrick. Okay. I have Lori Makinen and Marcia Keith here to testify. If you want to come up together, tell us what we need to know about this bill.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Marcia Keith, and I'm here representing the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association. The Oregon Veterinary Medical Association agreed to introduce Senate Bill 318 on behalf of the Oregon Veterinary Medical Examining Board, which is our licensing agency, which is the licensing agency for veterinarians, because Senate Bill 318 is in the best interest of animals and the public, and also because the deadline had passed for state agencies to introduce bills when it became apparent that this bill was necessary. So the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association agreed to ask for it to be introduced, and we are here in support, strong support of the bill. This bill will help our examining board prevent harm to veterinary patients and to the public caused by veterinarians who cannot safely or competently practice due to mental or physical impairment. It became apparent that this bill was needed after a well-publicized incident out in the Banks area involving a veterinarian who was caring for horses, not as part of her veterinary practice, but as part of her private life. And the horses were neglected to the point of abuse, and the veterinary board found itself, the examining board found itself unable to take any action against that veterinarian because they lacked the statutory authority to take action against a veterinarian whose offending conduct was not happening as part of the practice of veterinary medicine. Had the provision in Senate Bill 318 been available at the time, the examining board could have ordered a mental competency evaluation, and then if justified by that evaluation, they could have issued an emergency suspension order. So this bill will give the examining board the right to do that. Veterinary Medical Examining Board is the only health licensing agency that does not currently have that ability. Not sure exactly why, when, how that happened statutorily, but this actually moves them in, up to the level of other medical examining boards, such as the boards of medicine and nursing, dentistry, pharmacy. There are also a couple of other cases that are hanging fire out there that will that this bill will help the examining board deal with, and we feel an extremely necessary bill. It comes to you from the Senate with no votes in the committee and a 30-0 vote on the floor of the Senate. So we ask for your support of this bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions. The director of the Veterinary Medical Examining Board, Lori Makinen, is here with me, and she will explain what the Senate amendments do and then add any comments that she might have as well.
Okay. Lori, would you like to go ahead?
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Lori Makinen, Director of the Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and the amendments that the Senate added were two very simple ones. One moved the number of board members required to a majority of five, simple majority of five rather than four, because we added a board member in the last session, so we now have eight. So that amendment means that we have to have five members vote for the discipline in order to make it happen. Mm-hmm. The second amendment added just the language that says at the direction of or at the order of the board, the licensee has to undergo a competency evaluation. Just made it more specific that the board has the authority to order that.
Great. Thank you. Any questions to this panel? Seeing none, yay. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else here who wants to testify on Senate Bill 318? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 318A. I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 318A.
Representative Boquist. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 318 be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
I have a motion from Representative Boquist to move Senate Bill 318A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Do I have any objections? Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Pack. Aye. Representative Merlin. Aye. Representative Sumner. Aye. Representative Dyer. Aye. Representative Boquist. Aye. Representative Burley. Aye. Chair Smith. Chair votes aye.
We move, and having received the number required number of votes, we move Senate Bill 318A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Byer, would you mind carrying this bill?
Sure.
I'll put Representative Byer as a carrier. Close the work session on Senate Bill 318A. Committee, the only last thing we have to do is just an update from Representative Burley on the work group. You said you would give us an update on how things were proceeding. And,
well, we had a... Sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought a very good meeting. It was well attended on Monday. And we're still working on it at this point in time, but I'd like to follow up with you perhaps and discuss a few options.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted an update on where we were at on the landowner preference bill. Committee, we're going to schedule, I'm going to try to keep our schedule as narrow as I can. We're going to schedule the Wolf hearings on the Wolf bill Monday and Wednesday of next week morning. And just so you know, we got to let the discussions begin. I'm just trying to keep it narrowed. And so get your questions ready and be prepared. We'll just have public hearings and see where we're going on that bill. We do have listed possible work session on Wednesday. So we are not meeting this Friday. They are going to floor session 10, and then they're starting morning and afternoon floor sessions starting next week. So it's going to be very difficult to fit our committee in, but we were going to make every attempt to do that. So any questions from the committee? With that, we are adjourned. I'll see you Monday.